Effective feedback from leaders. Just because you heard feedback does not mean you need to move immediately. A culture of listening to employee opinions is certainly important. But what matters even more is not how quickly a leader reacts after hearing them, but how that feedback is interpreted and what kind of action follows.
Key message: responding quickly to employee feedback is not always a sign of good leadership. Changes made too quickly can actually make a leader seem less authentic and less grounded. What matters is not immediate change itself, but how feedback is interpreted and explained. Employees watch not only the outcome, but also the leader's process of judgment. An organization that hears a lot of feedback is not the same as one that handles feedback well. Mature organizations do not instantly turn every comment into policy. They read, compare, and verify signals first. A leader's pause can be a skill of reflection rather than a sign of neglect. But for that pause to build trust, the leader must clearly explain what is being reviewed and when a fuller response will come. Lasting trust comes not from quick reaction, but from deep judgment. A good leader is not someone who is shaken by every comment, but someone who learns consistently while holding to clear standards.
On February 20th, 2026, in Harvard Business Review, Danby Chan and Francis J. Flynn pointed out that when leaders change their behavior too quickly right after hearing employee feedback, they can actually come across as less authentic. The follow-up HBR tip article published on March 4th likewise argued that changes made too quickly can seem hasty and insincere, while responses that come too late can be read as indifference. In other words, the key is not immediacy itself, but the speed and manner of the response. The culture of listening has expanded, but the skill of judgment is still lacking. Today's organizations listen to employees far more frequently than in the past. Regular surveys, anonymous suggestions, town hall meetings, one-on-one conversations, project retrospectives, messages and comments in collaboration tools, internal boards, and communities have all multiplied the channels through which opinions rise to the surface. In many organizations, the idea that everyone should be able to speak, everyone should be able to raise problems, and leaders themselves should be open to feedback is now taken almost as common sense. This change is, without question, welcome. Compared with cultures that demanded only silence and obedience, it is a much healthier direction. Yet there is an easy blind spot here. Organizations have become accustomed to expanding the mechanisms for hearing employees, but they have not necessarily become equally skilled at interpreting, discerning, and processing what they hear. The channels for receiving feedback have grown, but the ability to convert that feedback into organizational judgment has often not become equally sophisticated. At this point, leaders come under strong pressure. Once they have heard something, they feel pressured to show that they are doing something about it. If a problem has been raised and they do not quickly change their attitude, they may appear dismissive. If they do not promptly revise a system or a process, they may seem to have only pretended to listen. That anxiety pushes leaders to hurry. As a result, many leaders come to treat listening and taking immediate action as almost the same thing, but they are not the same at all. Listening is first about receiving and understanding. Action is something that can come only after interpretation and judgment. Good leadership reveals itself precisely in that space in between. A person who immediately turns everything they hear into action is not necessarily more trustworthy than a person who can determine what kind of issue the feedback represents, what should be changed, and what must be preserved. In the age of feedback, what is needed is not speed of reaction, but depth of interpretation. Organizations are learning how to listen more, but what will truly set them apart in the future is the ability to judge better. Why changes made too quickly can make authenticity look weaker. Employees generally do not want their opinions to be ignored. That is why a leader who changes quickly after receiving feedback often appears, on the surface, to be doing something very positive. When employees say meetings are too long, the leader immediately shortens them. When people complain that reporting procedures are cumbersome, the leader quickly changes the format. When someone points out that the leader's tone is too harsh, the leader softens it at the very next meeting. At first glance, this seems like the behavior of an ideal manager. But trust inside an organization does not form that simply. Employees may feel they hurt us, but at the same time they may also think, why are they changing so fast? They begin trying to judge whether that change is the result of genuine reflection, a gesture meant to quiet criticism for the moment, or simply a sign of a person who is easily swayed by the surrounding atmosphere. If change happens too quickly, the content of the change is often overshadowed by doubts about its motive. Authenticity is judged not simply by good intentions, but by how naturally words and actions connect over time. If a leader who spoke forcefully about principles yesterday behaves like a completely different person today after hearing one or two pieces of feedback, employees may read that change less as the result of learning and more as the result of calculation. Flexibility matters, but flexibility does not automatically produce trust. At times, excessive sensitivity can look less like consideration and more like insecurity, and rapid change can look less like openness and more like a lack of inner standards. That is why leaders need to show not only what they are changing in response to feedback, but also why they are changing it now. Change without an explanation easily leaves the impression of someone who wavers. Change with an explanation leaves the impression of someone who is learning. Organizations may seem to watch only outcomes, but in reality, they are extremely sensitive readers of process. Whether a leader's change in attitude builds trust or erodes, it depends less on speed itself than on the way that speed is explained. Employees watch the process of judgment more than the result. Many leaders, after receiving feedback, try first to show a result. They want to quickly signal that they are not ignoring what employees have said. That is why phrases like, "I understand," "I'll fix it right away," come so easily. But what employees really want to see is not only the result of change. More often, they want to see how the leader understood what was said, what standards are being used to review it, what can be changed immediately and what needs more time, and what the structure of that judgment looks like. Take, for example, an employee who says, "The way the leader speaks in meetings is so forceful that it makes it hard to speak freely." If the leader suddenly adopts an overly cautious and gentle tone in the next meeting, then outwardly the feedback has been reflected. But if there is no explanation for that change, employees may actually become more confused. It becomes difficult to tell whether their words were truly understood, whether the leader is simply trying to quiet immediate dissatisfaction, or whether the leader will soon revert once the mood changes again. By contrast, if the leader says something like this, the situation changes. "I took that comment seriously. I recognize that the way I push issues may have felt overly forceful. At the same time, the kind of work we do also requires speed and a certain level of intensity, so I want to think more carefully about what should be maintained and what should be adjusted. Before the next meeting, I'll organize my standards and explain them." This does not provide an instant perfect answer, but it creates much greater trust. It gives the sense that the feedback is actually becoming material for judgment. Inside organizations, people do not necessarily want every request to be accepted immediately. Rather, they want to know that their words are not being consumed lightly. In the end, what matters is not immediate acceptance, but fair review. If a leader can acknowledge that the feedback was received, explain why it is being taken seriously, and say when and how a response will follow, trust can begin to form even before the final result appears. An organization that hears a lot of feedback is not the same as one that handles feedback well. Today, many companies speak of building feedback-friendly cultures. They encourage people to speak freely, emphasize psychological safety, and urge employees to be candid even with leaders. But an organization's level is not determined by whether people are able to speak. The more fundamental distinction lies in what happens after they do. Organizations that handle feedback well do not treat employee comments as a simple list of demands. They read them as signals. They ask whether a complaint is a sign of a recurring structural issue, an emotional reaction produced by a period of fatigue, or a point of discomfort affecting only some people, but still pointing to a system-wide problem. That is why such organizations do not rush to change things immediately. They first classify, compare, and verify. This is not because they are slow, but because they want to move more accurately. Organizations that handle feedback poorly, by contrast, are always busily reacting yet rarely learning very much. First, they reduce the number of meetings, then they change reporting formats, then they create new communication rules, only to revert to the old way not long afterward. There is a lot of change, but no standard. In such organizations, employees gradually feel the fatigue of feedback more than its power. This will just be a temporary reaction again. This is probably another performative measure. Once that cynicism accumulates, the organization may hear many words, but in reality, it learns less and less. That is why what will matter more in the future is not the volume of feedback collected, but the quality of judgment applied to it. If leaders have open ears but no center, the organization is easily shaken. If they have a center but closed ears, the organization hardens. Good leadership emerges from holding both at once. People feel longer-lasting trust, not in organizations that immediately translate every word into policy, but in organizations where what they say is handled properly after it is said. A pause is not neglect, but a skill of mature leadership. A leader who pauses after receiving feedback is often misunderstood. Many people treat a quick response as a sign of diligence and interpret a delayed answer as indifference or defensiveness. That is why leaders themselves often feel uneasy about pausing. In reality, however, the ability to pause is one of the core traits of mature leadership. To pause does not mean to ignore feedback. It means that although one has heard it, one has chosen not to process it reflexively. It is time to separate emotion from fact, personal discomfort from structural problems, and isolated incidents from recurring patterns. Immediate reaction is easy.
Good judgment rarely is.
That is why a pause is not avoidance, but preparation for accuracy. Of course, a pause without explanation can look like silence, and silence is often read as disregard. That is why what matters is not the pause itself, but how the pause is made visible. I am taking this issue seriously, but rather than answer immediately, I want to confirm a few things. I want to see how often this kind of experience is recurring and whether there are differences across teams, and next week I will organize the direction and explain it. A statement like that delays reaction, but it does not delay responsibility. If anything, it signals that the feedback is not being handled lightly. A pause also protects the leader. When people receive critical feedback, they tend to move toward one of two extremes. One is immediate defensiveness. That's a misunderstanding. The other is immediate surrender. Then I'll change everything. Both are dangerous. Defensiveness blocks learning, while overacceptance erases standards. A pause makes possible the space in between. It is a stance that neither denies the feedback nor rewrites the self completely because of a single piece of feedback. Only with that calm interval can a leader's response become genuine judgment rather than image management. What should be changed immediately and what should be changed over time? When facing employee feedback, what matters is neither always moving quickly nor always moving slowly. The key is selectivity. Some issues must be addressed immediately, while others require time. Leaders who cannot distinguish between the two either overreact to everything or endlessly postpone everything. The first category that must be addressed immediately concerns dignity and safety. Public humiliation, discrimination, repeated verbal pressure, and obvious unfairness require swift intervention. The same is true for issues that have already been raised repeatedly through multiple channels and whose facts are relatively clear. If a leader has plainly communicated something badly or created misunderstanding, then apology and correction become more costly the longer they are delayed. There are also issues that require time. Conflicting feedback is the clearest example. One employee may say the leader is too controlling, while another says the leader is too hands-off. One person may feel there are too many meetings, while another feels discussion is insufficient. In such cases, immediately changing direction based on one side alone means missing another reality. Issues that mix personal preference with organizational standards also need to be viewed from a wider perspective. Structural problems require even more care. If an employee says, "The workload is too heavy," and the leader responds only by removing one meeting, it may look like listening, but it does not solve the real issue. The deeper problem may be understaffing, unclear roles, duplicated approvals, or unrealistic schedules. Problems like these are not solved by changing one attitude or one procedure. Here, a rush change can easily become a decorative gesture that hides the real issue. That is why good leaders make three things clear. First, they signal that the issue is being taken seriously. Second, they explain why one matter can be addressed immediately while another requires further review. Third, they promise when and how they will respond again. Employees may not get every request accepted at once, but if these three elements are present, they will still feel respected. Without them, even rapid change leaves not trust but anxiety. Authenticity comes not from changing quickly, but from changing consistently. To say that leaders should not react immediately to feedback does not mean they should not change. Good leaders absolutely must change. The issue is not change itself, but the quality of change. A leader trusted by the organization is not a rigid person, but neither is that leader someone who easily changes posture based on the latest thing they heard. Authenticity does not come from never wavering. It comes, rather, from learning within a framework of standards and changing consistently while explaining those standards. Employees do not want perfect leaders. They want leaders who can learn, but that learning cannot be impulsive. A leader who abruptly changes overall direction after a single piece of feedback is less trustworthy than one who repeatedly confirms similar signals, reflects on their own patterns, explains why change is needed, and makes gradual adjustments. That kind of change may appear slow, but it is deeper, and it generally lasts longer. In the end, what organizations want is not a leader who reacts quickly, but a leader who interprets deeply. They want someone who does not reduce today's feedback to today's gesture, but can turn it into tomorrow's standard. Such a leader does not move the instant feedback is received. First, that leader pauses. Within that pause, emotions settle, facts are sorted, recurring patterns are identified, and the leader sees what kind of change carries meaning for the organization as a whole. Only then does movement begin. Without that sequence, change becomes not trust, but performance. From an organization that listens to one that judges. In the future, organizations will hear more feedback and hear it more often. As generations change, as structures of authority weaken, and as ways of working evolve, employees will speak more directly. This is an unavoidable trend. But the real difference will emerge after that point. There may be more and more organizations that listen frequently, but organizations that properly judge what they hear will still remain rare. An organization that judges is not one that hears less feedback. On the contrary, it is one that listens more seriously. Its seriousness simply does not appear in the form of immediate acceptance. It appears in the form of questions. How often does this issue occur? For whom, and under what circumstances, does it appear? If we change this now, what will improve and what will be destabilized? Does it need immediate correction, or should it be handled as part of a larger design? Only organizations capable of asking such questions can turn feedback into learning. A good organization is not one with a lot of feedback, but one in which feedback leads to judgment. A good leader is not someone who immediately reflects every comment, but someone who knows which comments should be handled in which way. In the end, that is what employees want as well. Not an organization where their words are instantly adopted, but one where their words are not lightly consumed. In that kind of organization, a leader's pause is not avoidance, and carefulness is not indifference. It is preparation for listening more accurately and a technique for producing change that lasts longer. When faced with employee feedback, what leaders most need to do first may sometimes be to act. But in many cases, what is needed before that is the strength to hold steady. The strength to hold steady without becoming defensive, to hold steady without becoming impatient, and to hold steady without trying to manage popularity. Only on top of that steadiness can judgment emerge, and only on top of judgment can trust be built. Quick reaction may create goodwill. But only deep judgment creates trust that endures.